you so much for tuning into this week's The Morbid Homemakers podcast, exclusively for download on iTunes. I'm your host, Brian, and welcome to our show. The holidays are just around the corner. Seriously, it's hard to believe. I thought about this the other day. I thought, oh, the holidays are a ways off. I have some time yet to get some last-minute gifts. I'm done with some people. I do have to make candles yet. And I'm thinking, I have like 4 weeks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like 2 weeks. So it was like a crazy realization that I wasn't happy about. But anyway, I figured what a perfect time to talk about last-minute gifts and great homemade gifts. Homemade gifts have really gotten the short shaft of the stick recently. They're the constant pun of jokes. They're in the same category as Christmas ties and a Christmas sweater. And there are some really pretty Christmas sweaters out there. But there are some really great homemade gifts. And with the craft advancements in technology, it's crazy. I mean, you can make a very professional-looking gift look like as if it came directly from the shelves at Macy's or whatever. They have the Cricut cutters, which make crafting seem like elementary. And it's crazy. I mean, like all the wonderful, wonderful gadgets and gizmos that they have out that make our crafting lives so much more easier, which in turn makes our little gifts so much more beautiful. Makes everyone happy, even the people that are on the receiving end of things. And I really think that's what, you know, we need to get back to. I watched a really great movie the other week on the Hallmark Channel, which was called Debbie Macomber's Call Me Mrs. Miracle. It was starring Doris Roberts, the lady from Everybody Loves Raymond. And the thing featured this, the boy, this little kid, and he wanted this robot, which is like the hot new commodity. It was the hot toy of the Christmas season. Everybody wanted this robot. Well, you know, and Doris Roberts, her character, really was emphasizing that we get back to basics and that the store that was selling the toys was not carrying the robots, the store that Mrs. Macomber worked at. Anyway, I'm horrible at explaining movies. You can probably just get this impression from me now. But the store wasn't going to sell because they wanted to get Christmas back to basics. And it got me thinking, you know what? We really have gotten off the beaten track. I can remember like when I was a kid and I never really got the electronics thing because that wasn't really the hot thing when I was a kid. But I mean, they all brought me so much joy. I can remember like my friends all had PlayStations and Nintendos and stuff. And I never was really into that, which might explain my neuroses with homemaking. I don't know. but I remember I did get a PlayStation in seventh grade and I was happy about it because I was like, oh yeah, I have one. What am I going to do with it? Do I need to play with it? But then, you know, my mom did get me some interactive games that were kind of fun and I played them with my family and my sister and it ended up becoming very nice. But my brother, who is 15 years old, he is obsessed with his Xbox 360. If anything were to ever happen to that, I mean, it would be horrible. I don't know how else to phrase it. It would just be like a loss of a family member, really. Not that I'd be upset about it, but the Xbox Live thing, it's just so weird. I talked the other week about, is technology a blessing? Does it help us or hurt us? With things like this, it really, I think sometimes we need to get back to basics and look at really the meaning of Christmas and what it's all about, which is why I wanted to do this episode of the podcast, because I think we've gotten off the beaten track and everybody, and I'm not one really to talk, because I do have an iPad and I love nice things, but I go out and get them myself. But during the Christmas season, I want really people to think about what does Brian like and what does he want, which is what I exactly do for my family members. I look at the person that I'm getting the gift for. I look at what they like to do in their spare time. I don't ask them, what do you want? Unless they specifically tell me they want a certain item, but or they need something, then they'll let me know and I'll get that for them. But I think, you know, what does this person's life revolve around? Are they a gardener? Are they a baker? Are they a decorator? Are they a chef? I mean, what does this person like to do in their free time? What is this person's passions and hobbies? And I kind of focus my gift around that. And I try to go for different things. Like, for example, if my friend is a gardener, I'm going to go out and make sure that I find her seeds from a local nursery that are seeds from my garden that I grow, and I might have collected seed pods, and I will save the seed pods, dry them out, and scrape up the seeds, which is what I do with my poppies every year. And then I have more poppies the next year because I'll just spread them somewhere else. But anyway, you can do that. I mean, so many of your self-sowing annuals, you can just collect the seed pods, and you can even make a really cute, attractive gift using an old mason jar. And if you have those really big seed pods, like from those echinacea plants, which are those beautiful, some people call them coneflowers, but they have these really pretty pink petals that they can get very, very tall. And when they make beautiful drying arrangements, but they have these really kind of prickly seed pods. You could take an old mason jar that you don't want to use anymore, a seal that is no good for your canning purposes, and pretty much just fill this thing with these old echinacea seed pods, tie a ribbon around it, and a homemade tag with directions. You can either handwrite them if you have legible handwriting, or you could type one up on the computer. It's an adorable, adorable, and very thoughtful gift. It's almost like from my garden to yours. And I think if you have a really good friend who loves to garden, he or she would very much appreciate something like that. It's a very thoughtful gift. And I think that's what Christmas is all about. Not only Christmas, but Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. You know, even if you're not a religious person, it's a holiday for giving. And I think for also for thoughtfulness. So, I mean, you can do anything like that. And then you can also do the soaps. If you have family members who have sensitive skin, there are plenty of recipes out there for goat milk soap, which is a very pure soap, which nobody that I know of is allergic to goat milk soap. And or go out and find artisanal products. Don't go out and buy them a bar of Ivory soap. That's a horrible gift. But go out and get them a luxury soap. So you can go to beekman1802.com, where Dr. Brent Ridge and the New York Times bestselling author Josh Kilmer Purcell are the founders of Beekman 1802. They have a show on Planet Green called The Fabulous Beekman Boys. And they sell the world's best soap. And it's made out of the goats that they raise on their farm. The goat milk coming from the goats that they raise on their farm. And it is just raved about. They've been on plenty of talk shows. They're on various Sirius XM radio television program or radio programs. They've been on various television programs. They have, like I said, they have their own show coming out, and they've just become this overnight success somewhat in that region. So I also believe, if you feel like I'm not a crafty person, Brian, okay, I love to bake, I love to garden, but I can't craft worth shit. So that's fine. This is why we have Etsy. Etsy is like, you know, I feel like on the first day God created the sun, on the seventh day he created rest, and on the eighth day God created Etsy. And well, he might not have created Etsy on the eighth day, but he certainly got the idea for it, because it is just a godsend for crafters who just lack the time, who don't take the credit for the work. I mean, I love to craft, but I am one of frequent Etsy shopper. And if I'm not shopping, I'm browsing, getting ideas. It's just a wonderful, wonderful site. I talked about, you know, this podcast gives me a sense of community. Etsy gives me also a very enlightened sense of community. Shows me I'm not the only freak out there who loves to spend his Friday nights podcasting and crafting and blogging. But a lot of fun. Beautiful, beautiful things on Etsy. And you can find everything from candles to dresses to costumes that you would find in Hollywood movies that are made by crafters themselves. You can find soaps and candles. Oh my gosh. Handmade jewelry, just beautiful, different things. Very different. If you have somebody on your list that always wants the different item, you know, they're just the different, they're the friend who you don't describe as typical or cliche or who likes to go and fit into conformity. They're the different one. Go to Etsy, get something from them. They will appreciate that gift and remember it for years to come. It's a perfect website for people of all ages and all backgrounds, but especially, I think particular, you know, and the right website to go to for that special friend on the list who is just a little bit different. And I love that site. So if anybody ever got me anything from Etsy, I would just be tickled to death. And so you can do stuff like that. Now, another thing to do, say you're niece or nephew or whatever wanted an iPod or an iPad or a Nintendo DS, and you just had to give in and get them that, because what 7 or 8 year old doesn't want one of those things? It's all in the news. I saw the iPad ad. I wanted one. But if you have not gotten them anything handmade or that you've made yourself, you can go and package it very beautifully. And I think that's kind of the other thing. You know, my mom, she's not one where she's not really that crafty. She's very resourceful, and she's very she's very crafty with things like flower arranging. She's wonderful with that. She's much better at flower arrangements than I am. But with crafting itself, she always says, oh, I could never do that. Now, I know she could, but it's more so I don't have the time to do that. So she says, well, what do you want? Here, take the list. But one thing I remember about my mom's gifts growing up and still to this day, they're always packaged so beautifully. I, for one, have a horrible time wrapping a present. I don't know what it is. I get so irritated and frustrated, but I have found other ways around it. So I'll wrap things in cellophane and garnish them with really beautiful ribbons. I've also taken a liking to the plain brown paper bags and taking my fringe scissors from the Martha Stewart Crafts collection at Michael's, and I have been using them to do all kinds of crazy designs to my bows and my packaging supplies, and even, like I said, the bags and stuff. It's crazy what you can come up with. And if you have any kind of questions, here I go again, resourcing Martha, but she has the best gift guides that you could possibly imagine. It's like, if you want to make something handmade and you're like, I don't know what to make, everything from cashmere, stuffed animals made out of old cashmere sweaters to children's nightgowns made out of your husband's old dress shirts or a new dress shirt even. Easy, simple, do-it-yourself projects that don't require a lot of time or too much money. So that's a great site that I've always gone to get my homemade gift ideas. I talked about candles and soaps, and some people say, how on earth do you even make soap? Well, I talked about the Beaten Boys. For example, they have a video on her website where they actually teach you how to make the goat milk soap. There are plenty of useful links on that website where they teach you how to make soap from scratch and by, you know, melting down the lye and that kind of stuff. They also have the candle making videos and links and how-tos. Very, very beautiful photography, very clear and detailed instructions. So I highly recommend that you check out MarthaStewart.com if you are planning on making any homemade gifts. And I talked about beautiful packaging. Again, they have wonderful links. And just go to the holidays link under the Martha Stewart tab. Click on Christmas or whatever appropriate holiday you celebrate during this time. And they have in there, it's tabs that say gift decorating ideas, gift wrappers, all that sort of stuff. And you can go there, click that, and just be inspired to the max. But I also talked about, you know, looking for things of people, you know, and who doesn't like good? If you have a person on your list who is an avid baker, a grandmother even, my grandmother loves to bake, and I have no idea what to get her. She's a woman who has everything she could ever want. And it's not an insult. She is a woman of very little needs, very little wants, but it's kind of like, again, you need to be thoughtful. I never know what to get her. And this year I went out because she loves to bake, but I feel like she doesn't do it as much as she'd like to. So I got her the Martha Stewart Cupcakes book. I got her cupcake tins. I got her beautiful brown papered cupcake liners. I also got her a pastry bag with various Atico tips, and I put it all into a basket. And I put a beautiful handwritten card on the top of the basket. I wrapped the basket in cellophane with a beautiful handwritten card saying, Grandma, have fun this winter baking. You're always in my thoughts. Love you, Brian. And it's kind of this, it's like an activity package, I guess you could call it. And if you have somebody on your list that is into these sort of hobbies or interests, make sure that you give them these wonderful activity packages. Now, my grandmother, I know, has cookie sheets galore. She's always the one with that cup of flour that you might be lacking in your recipe. She has, like I said, all of these things, but they're a little outdated, and I got her the most beautiful bakeware. And the really pretty cupcake liners. I didn't go out of my way way to look for these things. I went online. I bought the cupcake liners. The Atico tips, I went to Walmart and found them in the Wilton baking supply section. Again, with the decorating bag, I also got that there. I took them out of their packaging and I repackaged them into something else that was more attractive and appealing. But so again, it's one of these things where you can really get creative, let your creativity flow, and let the thoughtfulness flow out of you and into your gift. For the gardener, I talked about the seed pods. You could also give a gardener's apron, a wonderful idea, because I can't tell you how many shirts I have soiled, literally from soil. good shirts, whether I was doing a video segment or whatever, or taking pictures with my iPhones, I could put them onto my Facebook. If I this year, I'm wearing my apron. That's, you know, end of discussion. New gardener's tools. I can't tell you how many times I think, oh, if I only had a nicer trowel, I wouldn't get these horrible blisters on my hand. Or if I had better gardening gloves, I wouldn't get splinters through the fingers. And Ethel, they're a good company. If you are looking for a last minute gift for a gardener, the Ethel gardening gloves are like the Hermes of gardening gloves. They are the just best gardening gloves you could possibly imagine. For a homemaker, if they're an avid homemaker, get them a homemaking kit. Buy them things like the microfiber towels that are coveted between anybody who loves to homekeep and homemake. I love cleaning. So if anybody ever got me cleaning supplies for Christmas, as long as they were natural, green, efficacious, and overall just wonderful, and no smell, I would love it. So last year when some of my family members got me the Martha Stewart cleaning supplies, I literally was like on cloud nine. I was so happy. I had already had them, but I'm like, oh yay, more. And I was really happy. I thought this is such a great and wonderful gift because they know me well. They know that I love to clean. I love Martha Stewart. It's a good match. So, and I'm so tickled with them. I got them for my friends last year's for their birthdays and for when they move into their homes. I would give them a piece of whiteware from the Martha Stewart collection at Macy's. And I would also give them also some cleaning supplies from the Martha Stewart clean collection at the Home Depot. So, but again, if you have people that are moving into their new homes or have just acquired a new home right before the holidays, get them some beautiful whiteware dishes so they can start their own collection. Don't get them something with too much pattern unless it's like a display bowl or whatever, because it's hard to, if they're picky, shall we say, about the things in their home, they're going to want to have things that match. They don't want to have a display bowl that's like from Target and it's a limited collection and it's only going to be available until the spring. Because acquiring a collection is sometimes a hefty investment. And to new homeowners, that's just not on the expense list. And then 2 years down the road, when say they maybe are ready to invest in a nice set of Wedgwood or Waterford crystal or whatever, they can't find the pieces to this one display bowl that you got them, or this one bowl of a collection that you got them. And the bowl, you know, never gets used, it takes up space, and they don't want to throw it away because it's a gift from you. But again, just get them something that's universal, something that anybody could use. It's attractive. I can't rave enough about the beautiful dishes they have at Macy's. Go to where there's quality products and at a great price. This time of the year, you can find wonderful sales on mostly anything in the department store. So buy one for your friends and buy a couple for yourself. And then give them as gifts if you need to. And so for the homemakers, I highly suggest, you know, wonderful, beautiful, a bathrobe would be wonderful. Give them a little bit of the luxury because the homemakers are usually the ones staying at home, taking care of the house, taking care of the family. So give them a little bit of a reprieve. If they are a busy mom or dad or whatever, give them a nice plush bathrobe. Give them wonderful slippers. Give them a nice facial scrub that you might have made yourself. Again, you can find these kinds of recipes on WholeLiving.com. Last year, I made a restorative body soap. The world was going amok with the swine flu craze and frenzy and epidemic that was going on. And I made my family members homemade bath soaks. And it was a restorative bath soak. It was with ginger and Epsom salts, all natural. I used it when I had a bout of the flu, not the swine flu, just I guess it was flu, virus, whatever you want to call it. It was here and left. And I honestly think it's because I use the restorative bath soak, it did make me feel much better. And it's good to have these things on hand, but it's also good to be thoughtful and think, you know what, on that bad day in January when my aunt is down with the flu, she's going to get that restorative bath soak, and I'm going to be the one that helped nurse her back to health without me even knowing it. And it's one of those things that just makes you feel very good about it. So for the homemaker, you can get them the things that they love to do with the homemaking, you know, beautiful dishes, cleaning products that are efficacious and all natural and that won't kill their family with hazardous toxic chemicals that are spewing out into the air around them. Or you can go the opposite way with if they're the Lynette on the Desperate Housewives stream, get them the pampered housewife treatment. Give them the bathrobe or the plush slippers and the wonderful restorative body soaks or body scrubs. If you have a college major who is an interior design major, or, you know, great college gift for somebody who is an aspiring artist or architect or whatever, whatever their major is, get them a book that is sort of at the height of that major's career. If they have a career in, if they're seeking out a career in forensic sciences, for example, go to the Barnes & Noble, go to the websites, go to the New York Times, research the books that are the hot books for this major right now. It makes a great stocking stuffer. I am giving out this year to my friends and family and loved ones. I have been reading up a storm, so I'm giving out my favorite books to, not ones that have already been read, but I mean, I'm going out and getting new books. I read The Bucolic Plague, which is by Josh Kilmer Purcell. I talked about him, he's one of the Beekman boys. I also read By Nightfall, which is by Michael Cunningham. They were both phenomenal books. The Bucolic Plague is a true story. It is sort of a memoir of the Beekman boys before the television show started. But it's a great book, very funny, but also very serious at the time, you know, at times. And it's a lighthearted book. By Nightfall is quite the opposite. It's by Michael Cunningham, who wrote The Hours, and A Home at the End of the World. I think that's what that book's called. Yeah. And, of course, now the new recent and relatively current, By Nightfall, and it takes place in a 2010-esque time, and it's very, very good. A book that really grapples reality and faces, it's a great book to read with the new year coming up. I really felt like it didn't change me. It just made me feel a little bit more insightful. Like, wow, that book was so good. You know, it's, if they make it into a movie, it's going to be an Oscar winner. I can promise you. It was just very good. It was kind of gave you the insight of what's going on in the man's head, which we never get to see, that this man was somewhat deep, which is rare. But not really. I mean, all men are somewhat deep. They just don't show it. And here is this man, a heterosexual man, having feelings for a bisexual boy who happens to be his brother-in-law. And he's grappled with this, am I gay because I am like this? But it's not a book for just gay men. It's a book for everyone. It's a book for heterosexual women. It's a book for heterosexual men if they so choose to. But I mean, really, all straight women and gay men should read the book. it's just really good. So that will be a stocking stuffer this year. I have a friend that just graduated from interior design school. He graduated from RISD, which is up in Rhode Island, and I got him the most wonderful coffee table book. And it's by the Hampton lady, I forget her first name. Anyway, she just wrote a new book, and it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful artwork, photography in the book. I almost want to keep it for myself, but I'm going to be nice. It wasn't really a hefty investment, but it will give him, I feel, the inspiration he needs. Because after college, you do feel that that trepidation of, oh my God, what's next? You know, and where, what am I going to do with my degree? I'm out of school. Oh my gosh. And I feel like sometimes people lack that calling. They don't exactly know, did I do the right thing? Did I major in the right major? So give them this, or a book that will inspire them, a movie that will inspire them, help them, you know, make their own steps in life. And I kind of get them on their way. Again, a thoughtful, thoughtful gift. And even though it may look like just a coffee table book, it will speak volumes. It's an unspoken thing. Don't be the dork that says, I got you this book so you'll find a new direction in life. No, don't do that. But it's an unspoken thing. It's sort of like, I got you this book to further help you find your calling in life, to further help you achieve the possible best career for yourself that you could possibly ever attain. And again, just be thoughtful. It doesn't require me telling you via this podcast or on a blog or on any website what to do. It's you taking the time aside, taking 15 to 20 minutes, make a list and say, what does this person love to do? And what would this person love to receive based on what he or she loves to do? So, and I think that's what we've covered in this podcast. I wish you guys the very best with your gift shopping, and I hope that I've somehow inspired some of you to be a little bit more thoughtful. However, if you are subscribing to my podcast, it is very clear that you are some of the most thoughtful people in the country. So, but anyway, with that said, we're back next week. Oh my gosh, next week's show is going to be so great. It's our first special guest. It's not going to be like it was back in October where it was a scheduling conflict. It is most definitely happening. It's my very special guest and my very best friend, Stacey Sferinsky. She is I just talked about new career paths. She is on her new career path and she is baking the most excellent dog treats, homemade dog treats. So we talked about gifts for our best friends this week and we're talking about gifts for our other best friends next week. Our four-legged best friends. So we're talking about all the wonderful gifts that you can get for your pets. And we're going to be baking the most delicious batch of homemade dog treats. It's kind of sad when you flip over the box and you see all these artificial ingredients in your dog's food. And you're thinking, my God, I got to worry about high fructose corn syrup. And now I got to worry about these awful food recalls that they're having for the pet foods. And I got to worry about the safety of my pet. And we're not making dog food, but we are making dog treats. And when they're all natural and made by you, your dog will love you even more than they already do. So I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to make my two dogs the most delicious batch of these cookies. And you don't have to go to a science shop to find these ingredients. Very simple stuff like molasses and wheat germ, and which is at the grocery store. Flour, oats, you know, very, very accessible ingredients to make the most flavorful treats. And a very funny April Fool's Day prank. We'll talk about that next week. But you could even put a treat of these edible dog treats out in your kid's cereal bowl and tell them, oh, I'm giving you dog food for the morning, because really it's basically a glorified animal friendly granola bar is how I look at some of these recipes, but they sound and delicious. Stacey, she's told me she's tried them before. I'm going to be trying my first dog treat next week on the podcast. So it'll be interesting, needless to say, but I'm looking very forward to it. And with that said, if you guys aren't checking back in next week, have the most happiest and wonderful holiday. I wish you guys the very, very best and a very happy, healthy, and safe new year. And then hopefully you'll come back next week. And of course, we'll be back the following week. So holiday pet gift guide next week. Tune in.